Hey, this is August 17th, Back to the Basics.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Well, here we are one more time talking about gods and goddesses. And it's so important to know this. I said last week and probably the week before, in the Bible, it says, ye are gods. Know that ye are gods. And yet we keep forgetting that. The reason why we want to know that is so that we have none of this thing called separation going on. So that we know that we are one with this thing called God or intelligence or the universe itself. Doesn't matter what you call it. It matters how you feel about it and what you are doing with it in your life. You heard me say many times that God is mighty, but you have to know that God is useful, and you have to be able to use this thing called God, this energy, this power, this intelligence. You have to realize that it is not only all around you, it is in you, and it is coming through you all the time. We do nothing on our own. If you remember, one of the master teachers, Jesus, said, it is the Father within that doeth the work. It is this power within us that does the work. We couldn't even move our bodies without this power. But what has happened to us? We are free to be individuals. We are free to be an individualized expression of this thing called God. And because we become so individual, we allow the ego to take over. And as soon as the ego takes over, it separates us from this thing called God. Now, this thing called God, I always say, is so polite that God is not going to say, don't do that. If you want your personality, if you want your individual self to be expressed, all well and good. But while you're expressing that, you have to know that there's a power behind that. And that power, when you move this ego out of the way, or this bloated nothingness that we have within us out of the way, we allow then this universal power, this cosmic power, this intelligence to come through us. To come through us. So you have to realize that this power is always ready. It is at the door, waiting to come in, but you must ask it to come in. You must ask for this power. Yes, it's always operating, but it will operate in your life once you realize that is with your conviction that you do it. So that is why we want to bring ourselves to a consciousness, to an awareness that we are one with this thing called God. On the card that I always put out there, it says, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, because God is everything and everybody. But you have to know that you're connected to that thing, and you have to know that you have the same qualities of this thing called God. You have that same intelligence. Therefore, you have the ability to create. To create what? To create your life. And this is months we're talking, calling it Back to Basics, because how do we do that? We do that with our word, people. You must know that your word is powerful. So with that, will you turn to the person beside you and say, my word is powerful.
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 And Tim, my word is powerful.
My word is powerful.
Yes. You have to know that when you're talking, when you're speaking, when you're doing anything, Florence Shin calls the word your wand. Your word is your wand. It is a magical thing. You have to know that it has power. When you speak your word, you have to know that the word you're speaking is the word of God. that the presence and the power of the Almighty is behind every word that you speak. It's behind every thought that you think. But when you speak something, you're setting something into vibration. It is the word that starts the vibration. Last week we talked about the conveyor belt. When you speak your word, you put that word on the conveyor belt. That word then goes through the conveyor belt. As it goes along, it collects everything that is necessary to make it matter at the other end. M-A-T-T-E-R, matter, like something solid. It has to take clothes and dwell among us. So, you have to start with your word. Then, you put the power behind that word. You have to know that when you speak your word, you're speaking the word of God. And so you have to put the power into the word. You have to put the conviction into the word. You have to put the sincerity into the word. Therefore, you put the feeling into the word. That's why we say it's your feeling that is doing it. So you put a feeling behind your word, but you have to know that your word is powerful. How many people here have been to a carnival or a fair or something and seen them make candy cotton? Everyone knows what candy cotton. All right. Close your eyes a moment. Now, see that machine. And if you'll notice, there's nothing in that machine. They pour sugar in there. They do all kinds of things. And then nothing. Now, they take a paper cone. Now, let's pretend that that paper cone is our word. So whatever word you're speaking, if it's a word for health, if it's a word for wealth, a word for loving relationships, or a word for creative self-expression, find the right word. See that cone of paper. Now dip that cone of paper into that machine, and as you do, that machine starts, it turns itself on, and it starts to spin. And as it spins, that candy cotton is collected around that cone. The very same way that when you speak your word, it goes out and it starts to collect. It spins around that word. What is needed to make that word flesh. So when you're speaking your word, remember that. Remember that. You can come back when you're ready. Here again, once again, and it's always going to be this, by the way. We just used our imagination. One of the greatest gifts that we have been given. And yet we poo-poo the imagination all the time. We talk about the imagination. I love to say Einstein's little saying, imagination is more important than knowledge. Because everything comes from your imagination. When you were children, you used your imagination constantly. You invented little things. You may have invented an invisible friend. When you played games, you were Indians and cowboys. You were this, you were that. You used your imagination to do it. Now, when you're a grown-up and you talk about the imagination, you think, well, that's a childish thing. Or only artistic people use their imagination. Only artists use their imagination. You have to use your imagination all the time. Now, why do we poo-poo that? That I do not have the answer to. But here's the thing. What you don't realize is, when I say you're using your imagination, you're using your imagination all the time. You have imagined this class. You have imagined this building. You have imagined your life. But yet you say, I have no imagination. You see, you've imagined everything that you've had, and it has come into your life. But you say, I have no imagination. I cannot do that when it comes to improving myself. When it comes to bringing something grand into my life. You're doing it all the time. You're using your mind all the time. You're using your imagination all the time. You are so convinced that this life that you're living is not from your imagination. The world does not want you to know that. You are so conditioned to thinking that conditions mean something, that conditions have some power over you. Conditions have no life of their own. They have no power of their own. Only the power that you put behind it. So in your imagination, you can become and you can do anything you wish to do. And when you do that and hold that, it will collect just like the cone for the candy cotton. It will start to collect and your imagination will become real to you, just like what you think is real now. But you have to learn to use your imagination. You have to learn that your word has power. That when you speak your word, it goes someplace, it does something, and it does not return to you void. You have to know that. You are the one. So with this thing called metaphysics, this thing called God, or any of these things, we have to put our heart behind it. We have to put our feeling behind it. And we have to believe that this is so. You see, you're free to believe anything you want to believe. So why do you always want to believe the negative things? So easy, isn't it? You immediately accept that. Because we live in this world in what's called race mind or collective consciousness. And we take what the world tells us is true. The world is like your mind. It has never told you the truth, and it will never tell you the truth. You have to seek that truth for yourself by using your thinking. Everything is thought. Everything is imagination. Everything is mind. And you have to learn to control your mind. You have to be able to think the thought that you want to think. And you have to be able to feel the feeling that you want to feel. So use these little imagination things that I give you. Make your own up. Remember, I used to say it was the Play-Doh factory. I can always use the Play-Doh factory when I want something. I put the dough in, I crank the machine, and it comes out the other end what I want it to. The same way this thing called the law. You see, we're talking now about the law of mind, the law of attraction, the law of cause and effect. That law operates in all of us. Remember last week when you were created, it was implanted in you. And you can use it, and you have to use it all the time. If you don't use it, it runs automatically, and it just produces haphazardly. That's what most of us do in life. We sometimes use it and sometimes we don't use it. But we always get what we want. We always get what we want. So learn to use not only the law, but know that your word has power. You see, you can no longer afford the luxury of a negative thought. You have moved beyond that. To where now you must learn to think God thoughts after it. You must learn to hold yourself in the highest of esteem. You must learn to see yourselves as the magnificent human beings that you are. It has to start with you always. And it has to start with the idea that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Learn in your life not to be subject to conditions. When you listen to the news, when you listen to what the world is telling you, it's always telling you about conditions that are going on out there. and you start to buy into those conditions. You must realize the conditions have no power. The only power there is that power that's going on inside of your mind, inside of your thinking. So conditions do not hold you in bondage, but yet you think that they do. You think that that condition does. So how do we change a condition? I'll tell you a story. Last week, I had to take my car into the garage. Why? Because it was carrying one and bucking and going on crazy little things. And then the symbol for the engine came on, the motor. And then over here, another one came on. I thought, well, this is serious to him. So I took it. And the man said to me, okay, we'll look at this, we'll do this, that, and the other thing. I'll have it done by 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, he called. This was on a Saturday. And he said to me, well, we looked at that car and it's completely corroded with carbon. You must have been using the wrong gasoline. I said, well, sir, what type of gasoline was I supposed to be using? He said, well, you should have been using Chevron with Tecron. I said, did you tell me that? He said, no. I said, did the salesperson tell me that? No. I said, is it in the manual? No. But he said, I'm telling you now, and now we're educating you. I said, well, it's a bit late, isn't it? But he said to me, I just want to tell you that that is not covered by your warranty. And we're going to have the whole engine apart. I said to him, knee-jerk reaction, well, it better be covered by my warranty, or I'm going to drive it through your showcase window. And he said to me, oh, well, we'll work on this. Now, that knee-jerk reaction that I had, I'm going to drive it through the showcase window. Soon as it came out of my mouth, I knew exactly what it was. It was my mother speaking. That was something she would have said. So now I have to forgive myself for that. I have to realize what I said. I can't let my word go out like that. Now I have to take that power back. So how do I change that condition? I sit down and I start to remember that I am God. The car is God. The garage is God. And the man at the counter there is God. And then I made the horrible mistake of picking up the phone. And my cousin was on the phone, and she said to me, what's going on? I told her about the car. She said, you know, that's always what they do. They'll never do that warranty. They never honor anything. Garage, you can't trust them. You got da 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 da. Complete race mind. I hung up. I sat down, and I did my work. Which is, when I say I do my work, it's mental work. I change my mind about everything. Because I know when I change my mind, the outside world has to change everything. So I said to myself, it would be wonderful public relations for them to fix this car for absolutely nothing. For absolutely nothing. So I kept that in mind. I waited for the telephone call knowing that the man was going to say, come and get your car. We have fixed it and it's going to cost you nothing. Phone call came. He said, come and get your car. It's going to cost you nothing. We have fixed it. If I would have stayed with the idea of running at the car through the window, getting into that scene, I would have created that. I would have created that. We create our own conditions. You have to know that you can change any condition. Simply because that man told me that it wasn't covered by warranty, and that crazy cousin of mine said the same thing, that's in race mind out there. And this is what we have a tendency to do. You see, I could have called 10 other people and got their opinion on what. And most of them would have said, oh, well, that's the way garages are. You know, a warranty, it's like insurance and everything else. It never works when you want it to work. This is all in your mind. It's all in your imagination. So you have to start to create the reality that you want. You have to start to hear them saying what you want them to say. This is not manipulative. This is the way the law of cause and effect works. This is the way this thing, this mental law that's going through your mind all the time is working for you. Is working for you. So in order, people want this, they want that in their life. Learn to change your attitude. If I kept that attitude, I'm going to run the car through the window, I would have never gotten the car. I had to change that. I had to forgive myself for saying that. And I had to forgive my mother also. She pops up every once in a while. You change your attitudes. You can change your beliefs. You can change your opinions. And you can change your viewpoints. You have to know that these are choices. You can decide. What do you want the outcome to be? You're the one that's deciding that. But most people just let the outcome be what it is. Just let it go. Determine. What do I want the outcome to be? Remember, you always start with it already done. With it already done. So I had to back up and know that the car was fixed and it would be fixed for nothing. I had to know that it was already done. Not waiting for anyone. You see? I knew perfectly well as soon as I realized that the car would be fixed and it wouldn't cost me a cent. And there'd probably been a very big bill that kept the car 3 days. So you can do this. If I can do it, you can do it. Ernest Holmes, in any of the books that he has written, and in the Science of Mind book, will tell you that this is a very simple teaching. It's simplistic. But everyone wants to make it difficult. They want to make it complicated. Because we have that ego going on, and we want to prove how damn intelligent we are. I'm so intelligent, I can figure this out. Well, I'll tell you, you can figure very little out. You can figure very little out. Give that idea up. Give that idea up. Know that this thing, this power, knows what to do, how to do it, and let it do its work. I told somebody recently, I think I was on a telephone consultation, but I've said this to the class many times, especially to actors. When you're going for an audition, this works every time. Every time. You must send your spirit ahead and make the way clear. You must send your spirit ahead and make the way clear. What does that mean? I sent my spirit to the garage and cleared that all out. You see. If you don't, and I walked in with the attitude and everything else, that attitude is in that garage. You have to send your spirit away to make the way clear for you. You have to see and hear what you want to hear. You do that. You do that before you get there. Everything is already done in mind. You're just playing it out. You're just playing it out. So remember that. Remember that your word has power. Your word has power. I had made up my mind that I would not pay for that car would be paid for, and that they would want to do that for me. Not out of any sense of entitlement. I do not like that entitlement crap. It's out of your mind. Because you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And you must matter enough that you're not going to play the game that the world is always playing out there. You do not have to do that. You can make any world that you want. And you can learn to live in your own world. You do not have to go down the pike with everybody else. You do not have to listen to race mind. You can make up your own rules. You see, that's why I often tell somebody, thank God I don't live in your universe, when they start to tell me how bad everything is. You have to know that things are not bad. Things are wonderful. If you dwell on how bad things are, what are you putting on the conveyor belt? you're putting bad on, and it's going to come out the other end. Learn to think only good thoughts. Learn to think only thoughts that heal you and bless you and prosper you. That's what. Know that this thing called God is always flowing through you. Always flowing through you. It's all around you. It's everywhere. And you're always impressing it with something. What are you impressing it with? With your attitudes, your beliefs, your opinions, your viewpoints. You see, God can only do, and the law can only do for you what it can do through you, through your consciousness, through your mental attitudes. That's why we say it's always done unto you as you believe. You have to change your belief. So, you change your belief knowing that there's such a thing as unity, that you're one with this power, this thing called God. You have to know that. Then you have to know that your word has power. And then when you speak your word, it's going to go someplace and do something. My father taught me a few things in life. And the more I live, the more I realize he taught me more than I ever gave him credit for. But one of the things he used to say, Dallas, you are master of the unspoken word. You see, once you speak your word and let it out, it's going to go and do something. Usually, we speak our word in haste. We speak our word in hatred. And it does go, and it hurts people. And it hurts people. A friend of mine years ago said to me, Dallas, you have to make up your mind. Do you want to heal people or do you want to hurt people? And it's all done with your word. It's all done with your word. So we have to know how powerful our words are. And yes, it starts with our thinking. It starts with our thinking. Are you always saying nice things about yourself? Are you saying nice things about yourself? You have to start there and know that you are one with this power. You are one with this thing called God. You are God in the making, or God's in the making. You are Godlings. And that this power is there for you to use, that it's a wonderful gift. And it's done with your mind, it's done with your imagination. It's very easy, very simple. Many books written on this thing called the law of attraction. Many of them very difficult to read. I think there's one by a man by the name of Troward called the Edinburgh Lectures, which religious science loves people to read. It's very difficult to read. Very difficult to read. Many books are difficult to read because the author wants to make it complicated and difficult. It is not complicated and difficult. What you think about, you bring about. What you put on the conveyor belt comes out the other end. It collects everything that's needed, you see. It just collects. So your word has to have power. Think of your word, candy machine. It wraps itself around and just spins and spins till it makes out of itself what you want. You see? Not difficult at all. Now, somebody said to me, well, it's easy to demonstrate small things. That's easy. It's only easy in your mind because you think it's small. You say, in the mind of God, there's no such thing as large and small. God doesn't know the difference. From a dollar and $1 million. Only we know that. Now here's another little thing to remember about this thing called God. God does not do things in degrees. We do things in degrees. You see, you either have health or you don't have health. You don't have 95% health. God does not give you 95% health. God gives you 100% of everything. God only does things 100%. We're the ones who say, well, I'm only da-da-da-da-da-da. Learn to know that you're 100%. Learn to know that you're 100%. You're always talking about 100%. And you're not bargaining with this power, this law. You're not saying to this law, well, give me 95%. I'll be satisfied with 95%. Be satisfied with 100%. With 100%. You see, it's our small, finite minds that get us into trouble all the time. Because we can't conceive. We can use the word infinite, but no one can conceive what that means. No one can conceive that. When you look at nighttime at all the stars in the out there in space, and you think, oh my, that goes on a long way, a long way, a long way. You don't know how long that goes on. It's infinite. It goes on forever. But we don't know what forever is, do we? We don't know what forever is. Why? Because here again, we judge by appearances and we judge by conditions. And we say, oh, well, forever may be 100 years, because most people aren't going to make it on this plane of action to 100 years. You see, we're the ones that are limiting ourselves all the time. This thing called God, this thing called spirit, which we all have, we are spiritual along with these physical bodies. Along with these physical bodies. But we imitate what the world is doing out there. You see, if we didn't see people grow old, we would never grow old. Spirit does not grow old. That person that you were is still young on the inside. My mother was in her 80s. She was wrinkled, very wrinkled. And I said to her, and she used to be a beautiful woman, I said to her, Mother, how do you feel about that? She said, you know, Dallas, when I look in the mirror, I can't believe that that's me looking back. Because she said, inside, I still feel 18. I still feel 18. And this is what we do. We have to feel 18. And we have to be 18. We have to know that this spirit does not age. It's eternal. It goes on forever. It goes on forever. This is how you condition your thinking. You have to train yourself to think correctly. You have to train yourself to control your thinking. To control your thinking. You let it just run over you all the time. How many people get upset in the morning because of some condition? And by that evening, that condition doesn't exist anymore. But yet you put a great deal of effort into getting upset over a condition. And by evening, it no longer exists. I call that a waste of time. I don't like to spend any time wasted. So I don't waste my time with anything like that. It's a condition. It has no life of its own. It came into existence to pass out of existence. And I ask it to do that very quickly, please. You can be here, but you may not stay. But if you put energy into it, you're breathing life into it. And then it stays and it stays and it stays. How many people do you know that have been telling you the same story for the last 30 years? So you're absolutely nauseous. So you're absolutely nauseous. They haven't changed that condition one iota. You can change any condition in your life. Any condition in your life. You can go from 0 to 100 in the winking of an eye. But you have to know that you're able to do that. And don't put up with all the other stuff. Don't allow the world to convince you Don't allow your own mind to convince you. Know that you're a part of something that's eternal, that you will go on forever, that your word has power, and that you are putting that word out there with conviction. With conviction. You see. Hold with it, and it'll come out the end of the conveyor belt. It will come out the way you want it to come out. But you're doing that with your thinking, with your mind. Everything is thought. Everything is mind. This is a mental / spiritual world that we're living in. We just happen to have physical bodies. And because we have physical bodies, we start to believe that it's a physical world. And it is not a physical world. It is a mental world. It is a spiritual world. And you use that thing called your word to bring into your life. So think of your word, as Florence Shin did, as a wand, as a magical wand that's going to do something for you. You see, we're not taught that we have power, and we're not taught that our word has power. We just think it's a bunch of words and we can say anything we want. And yet you know perfectly well you can say mean, hateful things and hurt somebody. So you have to know that your word has power. Now, what kind of power are you going to put behind it? Are you going to put a sincere feeling behind it? Because it's what you put behind it that's going to give it the power. The more conviction that you can put behind your word, the faster you will be able to demonstrate. The faster you will be able to demonstrate. So you have to bring yourself to a moment of belief. Remember, all miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief. It's bringing yourself to that moment of belief. We're always working on our belief systems. We're always trying to stretch our consciousness. We're always trying to come up with a bigger, better concept of who we are and a bigger, better concept of what God is and this whole idea of life is, so that we just don't see life as a birth certificate and a death certificate. That in between those two things, there is something wonderful going on, and that we can participate in our own life. We can participate in our own evolution. The human consciousness has reached a point where it is now participating in evolution. Evolution used to move us forward. Now we are moving evolution forward because we have reached a point in consciousness where we are thinking clearly now. And the more people that can think clearly, the faster this whole thing works. This whole thing works. So the scale is starting to tip, and it will tip till we will finally be able to see this world the way it truly is, at peace and harmony, where we all get along with each other. Because there's only one. There's only this life, this power called God. And yet we separate ourselves and we think that we're different. And we fight over the most ridiculous things. And there's no necessity for that. But you're here this month with this thing called Back to Basics, which just means learning this law. Now, we talk about it all the time. We know that it exists. You've read books. You've read The Secret. You've watched TV. You've seen what the bleep. So you know all this stuff. Now you have to start using it. But you have to start believing in it and believing in yourself. You have to say, I'm going to give this a try. By gum, I'm going to do something with this. Instead of saying, oh, well, that's a nice talk, that really makes sense, and then leave here and do nothing. And then come back next week for another shot in the arm. Don't you think you've had enough shots in the arm? Now you ought to start using this and doing something with it. So don't make it complicated. Make it simple. It's a simple thing. Very, very simple. It's done unto you as you believe. What you think about, you bring about. It's as easy and simple as that. And it starts with your word. And then putting a feeling, a conviction behind that word. That's all you need to do. And it will change your life. You will find out that you have power. You will find out that you have power. We talk all the time about people being able to manifest a parking spot. And most people in here can do the parking spot routine. If you can do the parking spot, you can do anything. God doesn't know that it's a parking spot. God's just giving you what you want. But it's only a parking spot you say, so geez, I think I'll fool around with that for the next 20 years. And that'll be enough. That's all I need to know about God. God's good at parking spots. Now, don't you think that's a little, you know, this thing's so powerful. If this thing is infinite, don't you think it could do more for you than that? It could do more for you than that. Does anyone know why you can get a parking spot? Not only because it's an easy thing to do. If you know that when you're getting a parking spot, the rule behind it is, there's always a place in the universe for me. There's always a place in the universe for me. So that parking space is your space. Now, most people don't know that. So then they go to a show or to a restaurant and they say, oh, we're sold out. Oh, we don't have a table for you. If you know there's always a place for you in the universe, the table will materialize. The ticket for the show will materialize. It's done with knowing that there's always a place for you in the universe. I have used this. I could, oh, please. People say, oh, you can't get, I say, watch. That's booked. No, it's not. You see, because you believe in conditions. I don't believe in conditions. You see. I'm not saying that these people lie, but I know if they look, oh my goodness, look, there was a cancellation. Because you have to know that there's always a place for you in the universe. That goes for a job, for anything. People can't find work, they can't find. No, there's always a place for me in the universe. This thing called God would be incomplete without you. Would be incomplete without you. So there has to be a place for you. You see, these are the thoughts that will stretch your consciousness, will raise your consciousness, so that you will be able to speak your word and get a result instantly. And get a result instantly. So don't get upset with yourself when you see something and say, oh, this is a condition. How do I want to change this condition? How do I want this condition to come out for me? And if you make a mistake like I did and say, I'm going to drive the car through the showcase window, you know, that was total, not only my mother, that was total race mind. And I started out, how? On the offensive. You can't do that, you see. There's no battle going on in the mind of God. So there's no battle going on in your mind. It's always God meeting God. And as soon as you know that and get clear on that, you will get what you want. You will get what you want. You're not, I wasn't asking the garage to do something for me. I was asking God to do something for me. You see? So use your word. Use your word. Know that you're powerful. Know that you're powerful. Every day, say, my word has power. I'm a powerful human being. And you will become that. You always become what you think about. Always become what you think about. So think the correct thoughts about yourself. Think thoughts that heal you and bless you and prosper you. Don't bother with all those other petty little thoughts. And don't allow fear and doubt and all that to come in. When it comes in, tell it to go out. It has no power in your life. It has no power in your life. We like to think that if we worry, that will do something. Here again, what did Jesus say? Worry won't add a cubit to you. Cubit is a form of measurement. It won't add anything to you to worry. But it will stop the law from working. It annuls it immediately. As soon as doubt, fear, and worry come in, the conveyor belt stops. Can't work with those things. Can't work with those things. So put something, and put something big and grand on the conveyor belt. I have a friend, just turned 96. I think he just turned 96. He's a ballet dancer. He still does a whole ballet every year. He still teaches every day, and he's still able to put his leg up on the bar. And every Christmas, I get a Christmas card from him, handmade, which says, "Everyone deserves something grand." And we all deserve something grand. So go for the grand thing. Go for the big thing. You know, your mind can get excited over something grand. Your mind can get excited over something big. Very hard to get your mind excited over something small. So you have to get excitement. You have to get excitement in your life. Okay? I have some cards. All the power there is stands outside of our divine individuality and waits that we should know it. You see, we are individualized expressions of God. We have individualized personalities. But this thing called God waits for us to recognize it. You see, you must always meet this thing halfway. If you start, it starts. But if you don't start, it does nothing. So, learn to do something with it. You and I must come to realize, by the way, these cards are all quotes from Ernest Holmes, from lost manuscripts and teachings that he did years ago. You and I must come to realize that we are a center of this God consciousness, operation and activity. God conscious operation and activity. Do you know that you're a center of God activity? Say that to yourself every day. God is working in, as, and through me. I am a center of God activity. I am a center of God activity. We are all in a consciousness that the human race has fulfilled, and we all more or less believe in it. See, the human race, this consciousness that we're in, this belief that we have about how the world is race mind. The human mind has made all this up. Now, you can live in this if you wish, but you can move out of it. But you have to become aware. You have to become aware that it's race mind, it's collective consciousness that is creating all of this. And you're buying into it. You don't have to buy into it. What is some of the things that race mind has spun? The biggest lie that race mind tells you is the belief in sickness. Belief in sickness is getting worse. Pay attention and listen. Years ago, you didn't have all the diseases you have today. People weren't as sick. People are sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. It's all race mind. It's all collective consciousness constantly telling you that there's something wrong with you. You must know that you're whole, complete, and perfect, that the health of God operates in, as, and through you at all times. and don't buy into what the world is saying. We are dealing only with thought and with nothing else. You see, you're only ever dealing with a thought. And when you change your thought, things change. Always a thought. What are you thinking? Change that thought. Are you thinking, I'm sick, I'm poor, I have no one, I'm lonely? They're only thoughts. They're only thoughts. When you change your thought, you change this whole thing. You change this law of attraction so that you start to attract into your life what you want instead of always getting what you don't want. But just remember, mental world you live in, and everything is a thought. And it's only a thought that you're ever able to change. And it's always thought that's doing it. No condition is doing anything. It's the thought that's doing it. So you see, that's very simplistic also, isn't it? That's that whole idea. Change your mind, change your life, change your thinking. And then keep it changed. But we think, oh, I have to deal with this, I have to deal with that, I have to deal with this. Only thing you ever have to deal with is thought. Is thought. All we have got to do is to recognize it. This will give power to our word. It is simplicity itself. All we have got to do is to recognize it, meaning recognizing this power, meaning recognizing God, and that we are one with God, and that our word has power. We have to recognize that. Then it works for itself. And it's very simplistic. Very simplistic. All there is of you is God. All the real you that there is some activity of God in you, because there is nothing else it could be. Nothing else it could be. You can't be anything but an activity of God. God is the only life there is, the only intelligence, the only power. Once you know that, you can use this again. And that power is coming through your word. Through your word. Everything comes to us through the law of attraction. If you think you're getting anything from anything but the law of attraction, change your mind about that. I know you may say, oh, well, Uncle, somebody gave me that. No. Came to you through the law of attraction. Uncle somebody was merely a channel through which this thing was using to bring that to you. To bring that to you. So God is always operating in your life. There's no way that God is not doing that, because you're one with this thing called God. You have the same creative qualities that God has. You say God is the Father. Well, then if God is the Father, you have to have the attributes. You have to have those attributes. And the attributes that you have is the ability to create. And you create with your word. And you are the one that puts the power behind that word, the conviction behind that word. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.